The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
Well, we pray this morning. We thank you, Father, for help. We appreciate you, our Savior, for what you have done for us. We give the glory to you for the enlightenment, for the revelation, for the illumination, for the inspiration. Thank you, Father, for what you have done and what you are doing and the purpose for which you are doing all of this. Thank you because we look up to you this morning again and our eyes are set upon you. We receive the meat for this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's a person that has been a mystery man on the face of the earth, is the man Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is a mystery man. He's a man that is not understood and cannot be understood in the sphere of this human natural terrain. Amen. It's a man from another world. It's a man from another life. It's a man from another realm. That is why he is not understood or cannot be understood. The things of God, a natural man cannot receive them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually coded, and they are reserved for a particular kind of people. Hallelujah. But it's beautiful that God has found us in mercy and has prepared how He will deliver them to us, how He will get them to us, how they will become part of our lives. They are prepared to us by the Spirit. Because it's only the Spirit that can search all these things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1, Paul was talking about, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and how that he was buried according." He died for our sin, he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead according to the scripture. And it's important for us to know that this is just the circumference of everything that is in the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. That what God did in this three zone, in this three terrain, about how Christ died, how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day, is the expression of salvation. But that's where God took his son. "Today have I begotten thee." God had announced at various places, "Thou art my, this is my well-beloved son, in whom I am well-pleased." But he didn't take his son from Jordan. He didn't take his son at transfiguration. He took his son at resurrection. He never said, "Thou art my begotten son." He said, "Thou art my well-beloved. My well-beloved. I am pleased with this. Thou art my well-beloved." He declared again, but he waited for resurrection. And so you see that the sum total of sonship is what God wrought in those moments. the hallmark of salvation is what God wrought in that moment where he took his son. And so it's the summary of the whole of the gospel. Praise God. But you know that God raised Jesus Christ. He raised him and built him from childhood. Amen. For 30 years, God was building a son. That son that was built in 30 years did not know about this agenda. He didn't know it. Jesus did not know about resurrection at Jordan. He didn't know about death of the cross at Jordan. He knew about other deaths, but not the death of the cross. That's why the Bible says in Philippians that to be in the form of man, he didn't take it robbery to be equal with God. He became obedient to death. Even the death of the cross. So the whole of the life of Jesus Christ is all about death. He had suffered. That was why he could express to John, "Let it be so, for so it becometh us to fulfill righteousness." You can't fulfill righteousness without death. Righteousness, revelation, is an administration of death of a kind. He won't allow or to submit himself to the administration of John the Baptist. It's death. So he had suffered from the foundation of the world. He had suffered. So no man can learn righteousness without suffering. Okay, righteousness is suffering. So when Paul says, "I die daily," he was talking about dying daily according to righteousness. You know, Jesus was designed to unveil the mystery of God. God is unattainable. God is unthinkable. Nobody can think God. No, even angels can't think God. God is a mystery to them. All they can do is to obey him, submit to him, worship him that they did not know. That's why Jesus said salvation is of the Jew. The angel can't see salvation because they are not exposed to the knowledge of salvation or the light of salvation. So Jesus was a design of God to make him known. But we can't know God like that. So it's a ladder. It's a ladder that connects the earth to the heavens. You understand that even when he was talking to someone like Nicodemus in John 3, "I'm preparing the way for you. I don't want to leave this place." This place you began to talk about on Friday. Friday morning, the Lord began to discuss with me on this matter. I wrote it down here. So when you began it, I said, "Now we have begun this meeting." Amen. Without understanding the mystery of death, you can't understand the mystery of salvation. You can't. He said to Nicodemus, "You got to be born again." And I was wondering, what's about this? Am I going to enter to my mother's womb again and be born? And I was wondering that you're a leader of the Jew, you don't understand this basic. Because the new birth is the basic or an earthly dimension of a spiritual program. It's an earthly dimension. The heaven and the earth are displays, a display of the mystery of God. And that's why God will not leave the mystery of heaven and the earth. Even in the age to come, there will be new heaven, new earth. Because that thing is a display of God. That two thing. Let's see what he said in verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." If it's flesh, it's flesh. If it's spirit, it's spirit. Next verse. Remember not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now it's not just talking about expressing the Spirit here. It's talking about a child of the Spirit. When you leave identity of the flesh and come to the life of the Spirit, you become windy, and that's why it's not easy to find God. To speak to Job, he brought the wild wind. God must answer and said unto him, how can these things be? Just answered and said unto him, are thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Now, the next thing is important. Very, very, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. We do testify that we have seen. There's something we have seen. We have seen the invisible God. I've come to witness the invisible God. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of the heavenly things? So you discover that telling Nicodemus that the new birth is the earthly dimension of a spiritual process. Very soon I will begin to show you heavenly things. That is why the blessing of our racing is in the heavens. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So if you have tested the earthly and you have not tested the heavenly, you can't see God. So what Christ brought to us is to bring us beyond the earthly dimension to the heavenly resources, so that we can have the pedestal to be able to sight divine realities. I went to the house this. In doing that, it's the learning of righteousness that changes us, so that we are programmed to know what is called suffering and death. You can't come to the zone of the death of the cross, the death, without having gone through process of learning death. You know that Jesus is going to become and really gather together the earthly and the heavenly. It will gather all things in earth and in the heavens. There are things in earth and there are things in heaven. That's why God gave him power over the heaven and the earth. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Not power of a power in heaven. There's power in heaven. There's power of God that is the earthly power of God. And there's the heavenly power of God. The heavenly power of God is needed to be able to sight the very reality of God's person. Because God is a spirit. All the men in the past who have experienced the earthly power never saw God in the sense of it. All the prophets, all of them, experienced the earthly power to a dimension. But there was no program that could initiate them into the heavenly dimension. So what Christ came to do is to open the way for us to access the heavenly dimension of God, so that we can see God as God is. Then the power of death that held men under fear could be broken. There is fear of death. Now, let me say fear of death to state. It's not just that we are afraid of death. It's that we have limitation of death. Let me explain my limitation of death. There's a gap between God and creation. Am I between the house here? What is called death service gap? There's that gap that cannot allow anything to reach to the end, which is God, which is called our salvation. Are we in the house together, please? Praise God. That's why it's talking about departing from the living God. Departing is leaving the focus or leaving the mandate of reaching to God. So once there's a gap, then there is foundation of death that makes man not to be able to have access to bridge the gap. If Christ has died before the cross, or if Christ has been sacrificed before the cross, then it couldn't have closed up the gap of death. Because what we close it up is not just dying, it's a person. There must be a stature you attain to close up death. So that by death, his sacrifice will have closed up that gap. So it's not the death of being outside breath. I went in the house nice. But the attainment of the person of God that came to death. You discover that when he got to transfiguration, let me give an example. When he got to transfiguration, God had to approve him again. I said, this is my well-beloved of son. Hear ye him. He didn't say, hear ye him at Jordan. But before Jordan, before there, he has been speaking. I went in the house, please. He has been preaching. It means that what he was preaching was true, but there was still a limitation in that preaching. There was an entrance that could not be accessed to bring men or to bring light that could close gap. I don't know what I'm saying now. There's two that's mystery. All that Christ preached before the cross is what the apostles preach. I'm in the house, please. But when they came to preach the resurrection, what was coded became clearer. What was like mysteries in the gospel became clear. Paul could make it known because there's permission to make it known. Somebody has moved from a zone to another zone to give permission for light to be shed. So it's not just that he didn't want to teach them more. There was no allowance for it. Even few things he taught them, they couldn't receive it. So what am I saying today? That righteousness is designed to raise a body that could fulfill the mandate of death. So that, now we're not going to die on the cross. Is that not true? Amen. I went in the house, please. What did I say? But we experience that same experience. The same way he died and came to the death. Now, in the book of Revelation 12, say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto the death. So it means that they have gone through death, they have been dying. But there's also remained the death. Jesus went through the same and came to the death. So it's the same mandate that anyone that will enter into salvation must go through death processes and also the death. It may not be the death of the cross of Calvary, but what God got from Christ to that death will be gotten from that. You can't get a son. God cannot take a son except through death and resurrection. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. Why should it be the death? Why not just because we have been dying? Because I die daily. Dying daily is not this death. If Christ went through all he went through and got to Calvary and failed there, the very reason for the training and racing is benefited. There's no way he could have authored eternal salvation. He authored eternal salvation because he went through the last phase. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of it. So if it was not made perfect, he cannot author salvation. So if Jesus at Jordan died, it would do no good to anybody. Do you know that? Though he were a son. He were a son. But that son has not partaken of the death, that last cap that mercy needed to usher us in, the whole of 33 years program would have been capsized. Just one day thing of his death, his burial, resurrection, 3 days. That 3 days program finalized the whole of 33 years program. And 33 years could have been invalidated without 3 days. So salvation, it's the finality of our inheritance, But we can't get there except God finishes process or due process of salvation or due process of righteousness. The cross also is the kind of righteousness. Do you know that? I want to house this. What is it? The cross is a kind of righteousness. It means that it's right for God to offer his son. And his son cannot choose an alternative way for that sacrifice. If it was done in another way, it will fulfill that obedience. The obedience is that it must be a cross that the Roman government presented in the manner of its trial. I went to the house, please. Why do you think, amen, already at Jordan, it was tested? After Jordan experience, Bible says it was led to the wilderness to be tempted. And the enemy, Satan came. And on the three ground where Adam failed, it was approved, right? I went to the house, please. So it means that if Adam has passed the test of the garden, it doesn't mean that he will have become the son of glory, but it will be a process to the next phase. So you can see the arrangement from time to time. The same way Adam failed, the same way Jesus was approved at Jordan. I went in the house, please. And so what came out of the temptation is what was ready to go to the next phase of trial. I went in the house, please. I'm trying to say that when he began ministry and began to preach the gospel, something else was added to the man that came to Jordan. Before Jordan, he was not preaching. I went in the house, please. He was not doing miracle. But the presence of his life pleased God. His walk with God pleased him in that he was learning righteousness. He was learning what was righteous to due course of God. And with that, at that point, God was pleased with him. Maybe his trials could be domestic trials, right? Amen. Because we didn't know exactly when the father died. We didn't know all of that. Are we right in the house, please? The Bible did not record all of that, but I knew that by the time he got to Jordan, the father was no more yet there. I went in the house, please. There was no mention of his father, so he has lost his father, definitely speaking. So he could have gone through domestic trials and temptation, which were basic, which were not like the trials he went through in preaching the gospel. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I went in the house, please. He was carrying the Spirit now in the dimension to serve God. And so the requirement of pleasing there was higher than natural issues. I went in the house, please. You know, when you were growing up and you're under your parents and they have to instruct you this, instruct you that, you are learning God. Yeah, you are learning God. You are growing. But that's a phase of learning. When it comes into now serving God with the gospel, it becomes another stage of learning. Because now his trial is on fulfilling this mandate, because he must preach the gospel to the poor. He has been sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the gospel of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that abuse, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and to stop there. It was not meant to preach the vengeance of our God. I went in the house, please. But what Isaiah said is that it will also declare the vengeance of our God. We appoint to them a morning Zion. Are we in the house, please? He will give to them beautiful arches, all of joy for mourning, garment of praise for what? For the spirit of evidence, that it might be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That's what the prayer said. But you see, a man God has raised now, that has a mandate to stop somewhere. And he must not go beyond it. Because he's not anointed to go beyond it. So fulfilling that process of training and stay within the boundaries of commission was another trial for him. God, he could go beyond it. He knew it. But the Spirit upon him at that time does not permit him to go beyond that. I went in the house, please. All of those are training in righteousness and there are death programs in doing the will of God the way God expects it to be done. I don't know what I was preaching yesterday. Now on the cross, if Jesus Christ wanted to get out of that cross, he could get out of that cross. That was a moment. If he feels this is, let's stabilize this program. Now sometimes you are in a film and it gets to a scene you didn't prepare for. What do you call it? Terminate. It means stop it now. It means don't continue it. I'm not prepared for that scene. Because it's a film, they will program it, they will stage it. Amen. Maybe somebody slap you more than what you can bear. It is in that part of that they will slap you, really. But when the person will slap you, he slap you what you could bear. And you are going to react. So they have to they have to replay that scene again because it's not part of the film. Are we in the house, please? So there are many things that encourage our life that is not part of what we expected. Hallelujah. And once you are exposed to that sin, the devil sees it as a good day to get plus. A day to instruct, to guide you, to show you the other ways that are probable, all of that. Are we in the house, please? Praise the name of the Lord. The man who went through all of those temptations was, when he got to the cross, the thing went to another level. It's the devil now coming to your mind. You see man. Because if the devil is whispering to you, he's talking to your mind in a way that you can rebuke the devil. You can rebuke the thought. I went in the house, please. But when men are anointed to play satanic roles in your life, and they are ordained that way, it's part of the program. It's part of the script before God, but it's not part of the script that you know. You must have been prepared. You must have been induced with measures of righteousness to have stamina to stay or to stand at such times. So what God does for us in most of the time is to build that stamina in us because before we face major times that they will reckon as the time of the death. In Hebrews chapter 5, remember I read that place, it was on Friday. It was read over and over again, 5 verse 5. Let's read that place, verse 5. Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today. Amen. Today. Come on, say today. I can't hear you, please. So there was a day determined by God to begot his son. And the son must fulfill obedience concerning that day. Verse 6. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days are like this place? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cry and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. I began to think, this from death. This from the death of the cross. Is it from the cross? He had power to get out of the cross. But there's a gap that was meant to be closed by that obedience. That gap itself is the death. I went to the house, please. Amen. It's a gap that has never been closed by any man. The death saved him from death, and it was heard that in that he feared. Now, it's not possible to close this gap. It's not fear of dying on the cross, but fear of not meeting up this procedure of closing the gap. This gap has to be closed. A man has been chosen to close the gap so that other men can have right into God, a domain that no man had ever accessed. Jesus was afraid of missing this gap. It's not fear of the devil. Fear of flesh. Fear of man. Fear of what? Man. The man, that man you see at even at transfiguration with that glory. What that man can still do. You know, Jesus knows man too much. He knows man that he will not even trust himself. He commits himself to the one who is able to keep him. At that stature, he's still not trusting himself. You know, sometimes we seem to just know myself. I know what I cannot do. I know what I can do. I know myself. You may not know me. You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. You don't know what you can do when you get there. In the days of his flesh. So he knew that even with all he has seen, there's still flesh that should be crucified. Flesh, for flesh to obey God duly, completely, or obey to the end. For because he that endure to the end shall be saved. It's he that can go through the process to the end that will be saved. So, before the end, they have measured processes of obedience that a man will go through to arrive at the end. That's why it's not just mere patience. We read there, patient, continuous in well doing. Patient, continuous in well doing is patiently enduring. When it comes to the faces of death, you need endurance. You need capacity to endure. Endure means not to change standard, not to change demands. Because we can negotiate for demands. And when you are negotiating for demands, God also hears you. If God said, this is the way I want you to go through, and with everything he provides to you to make it, if he knows you are not ready to make it, he's ready to hear you. That's why I come. Let us listen together, said the Lord. It means I want to listen to you. I can listen to the plea of your flesh. If your flesh will plead, I will hear. Amen. So you could see, amen. There's nobody that when you cry, there's a cry you cry that God knows the meaning of that cry. You know, they can interpret the cry in the spirit. You can cry and you are crying, God, stop this matter. Please stop it now in the cry. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Because when you cry, it's a message. The man said, he said, cry. Say, what shall I cry? So every cry, ask what? You know when Isaiah is crying, and he wants to submit. Amen. When he's crying, and still rebelling, you know it. You are killing a child. And when you're killing him, he's crying. But you know the guy is crying. Say, why are you beating me now? What have I done now? Are you not so wrong? He's crying, but he says something. But you came to a point, hey Joe, hey Joe, am I coming over? You know, he's asking for mercy. Jesus gave to God strong cry and tears unto him who is able to save him from that, or from missing it, from missing that gap. He prayed. No wonder you see the prayer of the garden that night. You see that prayer of supplication. And he knew that a man can fail at this point. He was not going to boast on his strength. Are we in the house, please? He forgot about everything God has said. You are my beloved son. Oh, in the issue of being begotten, all of that certificate does not stay anymore. Because a son who is begotten is not in the order of a son who is pleasing. They are of this different world entirely. It's a two different world entirely. And the realm of man, the son of pleasing, is a great man. I went to hell. He's a great man. He's a man to be celebrated. He's a high man. Man. To have that is a high man. It's a man that God attends to. I went to hell, please. But salvation will not be available if he stays there. There is mandate that eternal salvation must be uttered. The way into that must be paved. And it requires a standard of a person. A body must be prepared. A stature must be prepared. An alignment must be prepared. A nature must be ready. So in the season when God is moving us into realm of salvation, he will begin to discuss with us about the program of death, which you have learned before, but which now you have to master in terms of obedience. Let it be will no more be a thing of struggle to you and I, because we know that it's our school, it's our curriculum into sonship. When there are reasons to cry, to expect that, who will find grace not to bargain for alternative, because your alternative can still be a good thing, but it may not be acceptable. It may not be perfect will of God. The son of salvation, Jesus, that we call it, Jesus the son of God. That Jesus the son of God is the son of salvation. It's an example for us that it's a must that we must learn that part and now begin to learn the glory in that part. You know, before now, we glory in intervention. We endure. Is it endure now? If we use the endure, then we'll be rejoicing. But when he endured the cross, he despised the shame, then he moved to realm of glory or realm of joy. I went in the house, please. Praise God. A man who is enduring is not a complaining man. It's a man who is rejoicing. So you can see the long-suffering, joyfulness. Because he has been strengthened with might. But if the joy was diminished, it can't meet up with the demands. Imagine if he was just trying to bear the process. And that's that guy, the devil just entered that guy and said, how did you come here with us? We thought you were a holy man. How come the cross is your portion again? Even on the cross, Satan did not leave him. Even on the cross, every chance he had, you just got to react. So if there's no joy at that moment, you would discover that you don't have what it takes to bear it. You won't be able to endure when there's no joy. Because the realm is going to is the realm of fullness of joy. So he's enduring the cross. It's not just like managing. He knew the requirement, so he engaged until joy was not absent. He ensured that joy did not dry up. Because in tribulation, there's supposed to be joy. Rejoicing in tribulation, is that not? That's even in the training of righteousness. Rejoicing in tribulation. Patient in hope. So you discover that what he came into at that point is what he became. It's not what was confounding. He had gone through process. He had changed and changed and changed and changed as he has become. Even at that point, he still needed mercy of God. So he offered to God strong crying and tears. He offered supplication to God with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him, and he was heard in that affair. The realm we are going to is not a realm where anybody can boast, man. It's not a realm when any man, no flesh
ask what it takes to bust there. Because the flesh does not have what it takes to fulfill the demand. So I was just looking at this, that Jesus Christ in John 17, you know, he prayed the prayer. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. No, each time we hear the issue of glory, somewhere there for us is a thing of that maybe the world will see and they will know that God has been working in me. But that's not glory. Glory is what it became to meet up with God's demand. Because if his priest is looking for after resurrection, he won't take up the office of a priest, of a high priest. God, that is still a hidden dimension from man. I went in the house, please. Even from his people, there are many of his people who don't even know him as a high priest. So it's an hidden dimension of ministry. So if it is glory, the way man knows glory is looking for, then there is no need to go through that path. So you can see that when you say, God said, I've glorified him, I've glorified him again. I have glorified him again. Means I have completed the process. I have approved him. He can be what is meant to be. Because in the first place, I have glorified him. Where did he glorify him? Amen. Where was he glorified? He was glorified at Jordan. He was glorified again at Transfiguration. For Peter, that was a reference point. He received glory and honor when there came such a voice from his excellent glory. This is my well-beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He received glory. He received from God glory. Tell me, what did he enjoy after Jordan? No, tell me, what did he enjoy? He only found grace for obedience, for more obedience. As he was stepping out, somebody was after him. For 40 days. 40 days of serious dealing and issues that need their consideration. Because if Jesus could not be tempted, there was no, he won't call him temptation. So it means he could be tempted. The things the enemy raised, they are things that will be considered. I went in the house, please. They are not things that are irrelevant. No, they are things that make sense to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it made sense. It made sense. The Spirit has already come upon him. So dimensions of grace for the miraculous has opened. Are we in the house, please? Amen. So it's not that he's saying that when you obey me now, it will cease. No. It's not that it's going to cease. It's that he wants to take his commitment. Are we in the house, please? He wants that investment to serve him. You know, one day I was concerned about, you know, when you look at Ondo here, some people say there's nothing Ondo here than eternal life. If you are living in this world, you won't know you are living in Ondo. That somewhere that God immune this world. So that my children, I said, my children, you don't know this town. If you just move just few meters away from this here, you begin to know Ondo town. So you grew up here, you don't even know the language. You don't know anything about it. It's because you are immune. So I was concerned about people getting job to do, people getting money, all of that, concern about that, and all of that. You know, in the midst of that, God said to me, are they your children or my children? It was, are they your children or my children? Just do what I asked to do. Leave the rest for me. And that was power. For me, it was power to stabilize. It doesn't mean I don't help people anymore, but the way I put the weight on my head, and there's something that is killing to pastors, like that weight. The weight of wanting to ensure that everybody is taken care of physically is one of the highest burden of ministers. At least when they are okay, you are sure they can stay. If they are not okay, very soon they will say, Pastor, I have a leading towards going to Lagos. You see, well, the Holy Ghost just imprinted my heart. It's not since survival here. That's the meaning of it. He has looked around. Who can I marry? My kind of guy is not here. He has the kind of guy he wants to marry. He's not here. Yes, he just knew that he size up. The kind of he will size it up. Pastor, I have a lead in my heart. I said, because everybody, every person, he has a tendency to secure his life, right? Yeah. Amen. One of the first instincts of an animal is survival. It's the natural instinct. After you have survived, then you cannot say, what next? But his life is precious. Amen. That's why in the worst of weather, you know what? When it's worst of weather, there's no rain, plant your corn. You'll be amazed that it will grow up, struggle for the years, for the months or weeks. It's not, the climate is not okay for it. Why is tender? You are still wondering, this thing is not doing well. You bring out the cob. You bring out the inflorescence. You will bring a cob, even if it is too great. It will reproduce itself. When you sit and say, I feel this thing is not doing well, just take it and open it. It has at least two grades. It's the sense of survival that is planted in the earthly terrain. And it's also in man. So for Jesus, for him to cross all of that, do you know how terrible the economy of Israel was? Was at the time Christ came? It was bad. Economy was bad. I mean, so bad that the Roman government appointed Jewish people to take tax. If they are the one taking tax from you and abusing you, all of that, there's a way you know that it's your enemy. They wouldn't do that. They will appoint Jewish guys. Someone like Matthew is a tax collector. Huh? He's not collecting tax for Israel. It's for the Roman government. So your own people will afflict you. People will want to dodge paying tax. So they are cruel. Wicked. So if you have the anointing at such time, the first tendency is how to liberate your people from this problem. Up till today, the Jewish people did not forgive Jesus. They won't accept as Messiah because he came to them, met them in their trouble, to them left them in their trouble. When he says, your Lord, what good has he done for us? He didn't even turn the land to a pilgrim center. It is you and I that turned Israel to a pilgrim. He didn't turn to a pilgrim center. You know how much Saudi is making on pilgrimage? So to them, is your Messiah. Oh, what Messiah is it to us? But the problem is that they are not in the realm when they can discern their Messiah. They don't know their trouble. They don't know their problem. So when the devil said to Jesus, turn this stone to bread. It's not just one stone. Turn your life, what you have become, to a ministry of meeting men's need. Ah. A great resource that is meant to pave the way for salvation was to be diverted. And he was talking to a son of pleasing, because of the bondage of death. So he knows human problem, he knows what he couldn't attain, and he will do everything to prevent any man from attaining it. You remember time when you say, I'm just thinking. You don't know, I'm just thinking. You're not the one thinking. Your mind is a play field where all manner of things can play. And the realm of the spirit, it's not just Chelsea and my chess man, you. Anybody can use the field. Now sometimes I say, can you sometimes think aloud? And yes. Some people cannot think aloud. They're just not thinking aloud. They just think within them and resolve within them. Silently and depart by themselves. You won't hear anything. They are in church, they are just quiet and gentle like that. They are hearing you, they are listening to you. When they take their risk of you, you'll be amazed. Meanwhile, the devil has finished the job. Your intervention at that point does not make any sense. But if you can think aloud sometimes and hear your thought yourself, you will know that you are not the one thinking, somebody is thinking through you. You know you are not the one in charge, somebody is in charge. He's taking advantage. But God is not giving up on us. That's the amazing thing. Doesn't matter how many times we have missed it, he's not giving up on us. That is the that's the difference between Christ, Jesus, and us. Jesus did not have an high priest. He didn't have an high priest. He was grown between two olives. He's guided at the olives. And he was using the olives seriously. The law and the prophet is not just something you practice. They are spiritual entities in the spirit. I went in the house, please. They are anointed. They have anointing. I went in the house, please. Because if there's anything that should give life, the law should give life. So the law has a life. The law has an oil. The oil has supply. So Jesus was using that oil to grow. If they put you there, you get lost. You can't trace your way. Oh my God. How did Jesus know? How did he come into this? How did he come into this? He was growing in Israel. He was the only one that knew the supply. The Holy Spirit taught that the law is a legalistic instruction, all of that. They didn't know the spirit of the law. That's the law of the old earth. The Holy Spirit, they love the whole earth. They can help man to ascend through the earth. I went in the house, please. So it's not like John the Baptist. It's not a mere person. They raised him to be the best of the earthly terrain. I went in the house, please. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm saying this morning is that we must overcome. The duty of salvation is for overcomers. We must be raised to overcome. For us, issue of the word will not be a mystery anymore. It must be a thing that is up, that you will see the world, you will know the world. You will know the engagement of the world. You will know when the world is bargaining with you, because your eyes has been opened. Now when you talk about the world now, the world is still not making sense to us as much. But for Jesus to turn him to a minister of bread, to him is not ordinary. He knew that the prince of this world has gone. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to trust, I want to believe God seriously that in this season that death will be demystified. Now let me read to us Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 Hallelujah. Have I said one or two things today? Just one or two things. Amen. Let me read from verse 9. Say, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He should taste death. Now, those who teach in the Christian religion, they said he tasted death so that he will not taste death. No. He tasted death on the behalf of every man. He by the grace of God. So what grace does is to prepare to go through it. You won't wonder why all the apostles, all of them, none of them was afraid of natural death. And it was not indoctrination. Not that can indoctrinate you and go and when you check those people on the other side, when they're indoctrinated, you see when you meet them, you know that one spirit has taken over them. Their head will be red, white. You know another spirit has taken over. So they can't commit suicide, they can't do suicide killings without naturally. They are not themselves. Something else took over them. For most of the time, when I watch them a few days before they would do that thing, you know that they have become wild. They have become wild. That's what indoctrination does. You don't have the stamina, but they program your mind to it. Are we in the house, please? So sometimes they have to add drugs, add many things to do that. Or sometimes they hypnotize them. That's how bad it is, hypnotize them. Many of the guys you see that will say, I have become so, I'm no more. It's not themselves. They sham them. When you get to all the palaces of the Emmas in the north, you find them there. All those small guys, they are under sham. Hypnotism. And after 20 years, they become wild. When their eyes get open to what has been done to them. But all these people, they live their life to a point where death, the strength of natural death, has no more power. They are too aware of another life. They are too aware that they have engaged. Are we in the house, please? Because the soul salvation has become real. Once you can see God in your soul, you have dominion over the flesh. Once your soul can experience redemption. Because the place of fear is in the soul. Let me read quickly that place. And it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Can you see? So those who call brethren are not afraid of sufferings, okay? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given to me are signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts. For as much as then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were subject all their lifetime to bondage. So this is complete process of death. You see, death was mentioned there 3 times. Are you here? Are you with me, please? That verse has death mentioned three times. That through death, you might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. There's no way to handle the devil than to crush the power that he has a hold, and that hold gives him a boss over every soul. He's not afraid of any soul because of his power. He knows with the power he can stop you. I think I want to believe that these are the things that are discussion beyond sin. When I said, to them it shall appear without sin unto salvation. It shall appear the second time. That to them that look for him shall he appear with the second time without sin unto salvation. I want to believe that this part of second appearance is to deal with the power of death. When it's no more, that it's not transgression that is being discussed now. It's how to close the gap and break the authority of a person that he uses over every soul. It's when he has lost everything that he begins to destroy in the body. When he knows he can't wage the war in the soul anymore, he turns his wrath to destroy the body. And Jesus said, don't be afraid of him who has the power to destroy the body, but cannot handle the soul. But rather be afraid of him who has the power but to destroy the body and cast the soul to hell. Yeah, rather. I trust in this season that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will usher us into the domain of mercy, where we can wait for his coming, where we can see his appear, the final appearing that will destroy this hold over humanity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they overcame him, we shall overcome him. By the word of their mouth, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And we arrive at the place where our life will not love our life even unto the dead. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We give you glory. Can we just give thanks to the Lord? Appreciate him this morning. Thank you, Father, for helping us. We bless you. We bless you. We give glory to you. We exalt you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Glory to you, our Father. Blessed be your name.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.